Hello. Hello. How lovely to be with you this morning. If you don't know me, my name's Stephen, and I'm one of the ministers here at St Mary's. I don't have the silly bit of plastic. I'm not an ordained minister, which means I get away with more things, which is always more fun. But let me pray before we start. Father God, may your presence rest here now. May we meet with you in this moment. I pray that this would be your words, not mine, Lord. Your message, not mine. Use this moment now, Lord. We offer it to you. In your name, amen. Amen. It has been quite a few weeks in the Bake Off tent. I have to say, big fan. I'm not talking about in the tent, I'm talking about the whole concept itself. A few weeks ago, there was the saddening news that Bake Off would be going to Channel 4. Don't laugh, this is incredibly heartbreaking. Because what this means is less actual show, because there will be adverts, there might be product placement within it, I don't know how we feel about that. And we're loyal to the Beeb, because it's the Beeb, it's the BBC. Then came the even sadder news that my favourite duo, Mel and Sue, would not be going with it. If you're hearing this for the first time, I'm incredibly sorry, and prayer ministry is available afterwards. But Mel and Sue would not be going to Channel 4. This is really sad. And then, Thursday, the office was abuzz with the latest news. Thursday morning, Paul Hollywood, that's not his actual name, has signed with Channel 4 for 3 series or 3 years, we're not quite sure. And this was because on Wednesday he was seen going in the back entrance of Channel 4. This was quickly followed by Mary Berry, the delight that she is, saying, "You know, I'm staying with the BBC." It's been tough. It's been rough. It's been hard. It's been really hard. Where will the soggy bottoms go? Mary's loving looks as she calls something informal. Oh, I love that moment. This Paul's jamming his thing. Anyway, what will happen to the tent? Anyway, I'm bringing this up because I want to ask you the question of how you deal with emotion. And it's been quite an emotional week in Bake Off, but how do you deal with emotion? Like, if something's going on in your life, it might be really, really good, or it might be really, really, really not good, really sad. How do you process that? How do you channel that? Sorry, I can hear a couple buzzing. Probably me. A couple of years ago, someone dumped me. How rude. Dumped me, yes. Don't understand. And that night, someone took me out for dinner to try and, cheer me up a bit. And I just kind of sat there, quite numb, quite just... I picked at my burger a little bit. We were in Frankie Benny's in Portsmouth. And the thing about Frankie Benny's in Portsmouth is that we were here, and the next people were, like, here. And then there were some people about here. It wasn't really the place, anyway, for a nice chat. But I just sat there kind of picking my burger, not really wanting to do anything. And when I found out that our lovely Heather Barrett had passed away, I happened to be at King's Cross Station. I was going off to see a friend in Southampton, and I got the news as I got off my train, and I just sat on a bench. Because I didn't really know what to do. I didn't really know how to process that news that I'd just heard. So I just sat there. I missed my next train. I didn't really know what to do, how to process that kind of feeling of loss and of grief. And our reading from Proverbs, which I find quite amusing, as I wrote my talk with a lovely glass of wine last night. Only the two, it's fine. Kind of started to show us other things that we do, that we use to prop us up when times aren't so good, when we've experienced a loss or a grief or something in life which isn't what we wanted or isn't what we planned. The house that we really wanted to buy that fell through, the job that we didn't get, the person no longer sat at the dinner table that we wish was there. But when these things can happen in life, we all far too often turn to other things. Quite a few years ago now, my dad stopped going to church. He stopped going. I didn't really understand why. This was really weird because he'd always taken us to church as kids. He'd been church warden. He'd done talks. He'd led services. And just stopped. But Mum, Johnny, and I would go. That's my little brother. Not Mum. That's Mum. Anyway, didn't need to clarify that. But we'd still go to church. We'd get in the car and we'd go off. And then eventually, when we dragged Mum away from talking to everyone at the end of the service, am I right? We'd be like, come on, Mum. Oh, I just need to chat to so-and-so about this. Come on, Mum. We were always like the last people to leave the church. But when we got home, the roast was ready, which was a bonus. Straight in. Chicken, Yorkshire puddings, roast potatoes. Boom. Happy. But I still wasn't that happy. I'd much prefer Dad was with us in church. And what is going on? And one night I was telling my friends, and I was like, what is going on? Why? Why? Why isn't he coming? What's wrong? Is he angry at God? Is he angry at church? What's going on? What's going on? And my friend very calmly went, have you prayed about it? Have I prayed about it? No. No. And I'm the kind of person that I could have a deep inner turmoil, but because I'm painfully British, oh, I'm fine. I'm quite fine, thank you. Everything's just peachy. There are people far worse off in other places in the world. Don't worry about me. Your legs hang out. It's fine. It's absolutely fine. And I find that the last person that I go to with the really important things in life, the things that are causing me deep pain and anguish, is God. And I'm getting from the laughter that some of you might be the same, so that might be all right. And that's where we find the disciples in our Luke reading today. They've pieced things together, they've figured things out, and they've worked out that this teacher, their friend, this amazing Saviour Jesus, who they've pinned their colours to, that they've gone, we're going to follow you in life. We love what you're about. We love your message. We're going to follow you. We're going to be fisher of men. That sounds really exciting. But he might not be around for that much longer. And they're not really sure how to process this. So they just kind of shut down. In another version, in Mark's version of this, it says, they just didn't know what to say. I think that's right sometimes, that you just can't find the words. You just don't know how to express what it is you are going through. So saying nothing sometimes seems like a better option. But I really like the juxtaposition in this passage. Because over here, for the recording, I'm about to lie down. We have like the disciples. How good a little kip. Yeah, that's going on over there. They're having a little nap. But over here, we have Jesus, who is experiencing the same grief, the same loss, the same confusion, the same emotional breakdown. But he's like, I just imagine him like on the floor, head really close to the floor, and he's going, God! God, what is going on? Really, God? Like, why this? Does it have to happen? And it's just such a contrast. But the thing about Jesus is, he really knows who his heavenly Father is. The disciples in that moment have somehow been blinded by their grief, that they just read, ow. But they just really don't know what's going on. But Jesus does. And in that moment of pure emotional agony, he calls out to the only thing, the only person who he knows is unchanging, who is everlasting. We sang that, 10 minutes or so ago, how everlasting God. That's the person he calls out to. The same God that he calls out to on the cross. Jesus is just so wrapped up in agony and in his prayer that he starts to sweat blood. And Luke tells us that. We think he might be a doctor. Ah, my hand. I'm sure it's fine. It's fine. But that is actually possible, that if you are in such high stress, you can actually sweat blood. And that's what we see in Jesus right here. And I just love this contrast in this passage of the disciples doing what only we do as humans. We block it out. We don't want to talk to God about this. He's the last person we want to come to. It's probably his fault. And over here, Jesus, knowing that the only person, the only solid rock is God, the only person who can take all of this. And I think it's because sometimes we forget. And we were doing an assembly a couple of weeks ago, and we were telling the kids about how our vision of life and of the world is like this. We kind of see things through this. We can only see this, or we can see this, we might see this, but we have quite a limited view. And we seem to put that view onto God, that God only sees like this as well. So he couldn't possibly do anything about our situation. But what we forget is that God sees this. Not only can he see this, but he can see what has been and what is going to come. He's the most amazing creator God who created absolutely everything we see. And here's the real thing. He already knows what's going on in our hearts, the anguish we feel, the pain that we're not sure how to express. He knows it. That night in Frankie and Benny's, the person sat the other side of the table was my dad. And he just sat. And he waited. And he waited. And he waited. And he just waited for me to be ready to start to put into words what I was feeling and what I was going through. And it wasn't then. And it wasn't when he rang the next day. And it took a bit of time. And we're human, so it does take time to process emotion. But that's why our Heavenly Father is there. For whatever emotion we're experiencing, he loves it when we bring to him the good things as well. But he's just kind of sat there across the table in Frankie and Benny's. He's just waiting for us to bring to him whatever it is that is on our hearts. In Thessalonians, which Paul wrote, 1 Thessalonians, it says that we should never stop praying. And there's that old Christian cliche, isn't there, about, oh well, to build a relationship, both parties need to talk to each other. But it's kind of been said a lot because it's true. We need to tell this amazing Heavenly Father who loves us the things that are on our minds. And we're in really good company. If we flick back in the Bible, we find Jonah, who prayed from inside the fish / whale, depending on who you believe, fish's belly. I've never been in a fish's belly, but it's not somewhere I want to end up. I'm not sure it's a particularly good place. But from the depth of that, he calls out to God. There's Hannah, who just really wants to have a child. And it says that she prays in deep anguish. That is how I would describe what Jesus was going through. And my absolute favorite, Job. It's right at the end of Job. We're in chapter like 42. Like a lot of stuff has happened. A lot of bad stuff has happened. He's low. He's on the ground. He's on the floor. And he just kind of prays, God, like I do not understand what is going on. But what I do, I'm paraphrasing, but what I do kind of know, I don't think they used the word kind of back then, is that your will be done. God, you know what's going on, and I have to resign myself to that. So I trust you. I put it into you. God, okay. We're not very good at church in being sad or pausing for grief. But those are human emotions and human feelings that are rife in the Bible, that pour out of every page. But I believe in a God who meets us in those broken moments and create something quite beautiful from them. This week at Messy Church, we were doing some cake decorating, and on the way out of church, as I was leaving, I realized that a kid had spilt some sprinkles, and they'd fallen between the gaps of, like, the paving. I just found it deeply emotional, just looking down, and between the cracks of the broken pavement was just orange and yellow and pink and white sprinkles. And that's what God does to us. He takes our brokenness and he takes the emotion that we offer to him when we're ready, and it can take time and that's okay, and he starts to transform it. And it takes time. We can bring any emotion to God and he can take it. He's God. We are not. He is. He is a solid rock in which I personally have chosen to build my life upon. And he's there, sat the other side of a table in whichever eating establishment you favor, waiting for you to tell him what is on your mind in the happy times, in the sad times, whether it's joy or grief, he is there for you. Shall I pray?